Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the Best Life. What is going on, besties? We are here with another episode and another amazing guest for y'all. We are so pumped to have our friend and our colleague, Rachel Cosgrove, on the show today. We actually had her on the show before. Gosh, when was that, Rachel? It was like 2019, I think. That was early days. We were just baby podcasters, and we haven't learned all that much since then. But we're excited you're back because we know that you have an amazing book out, best-selling book out, called Age Strong, and we want to talk all about it today. So happy you're here.
Excited to be here. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Of course. And the book is called Age Strong, and it says A Woman's Guide to Feeling Athletic and Fit After 40. Yeah. We got the book here, and I'm super excited. I was excited because I got to read a couple sample chapters because I actually did the foreword for the book, and it was really fun to be able to talk about this demographic specifically. So tell us a little bit about just like why you wanted to write this book. You have other books as well, which I would love to chat about too. Why was this book so important to you?
So yeah, and thank you so much for writing the foreword. You did an amazing job. I was blown away by your foreword. So definitely check out Jill's foreword. She did a great job. I wanted to write this book. You know, this book had been on my mind for a while as I, you know, entered into my 40s and, you know, really over my lifetime as a trainer, you know, we opened our gym when I was 25-year-old trainer working with mostly 40-something-year-old women who all would say to me, you know, oh, just wait till you're in your 40s. It gets so much harder. You know, all of the things that, you know, as a 25-year-old, I said, no, you know, come on, guys, suck it up. Let's go. You know, age is just a number. And so as I was entering my 40s, you know, I've always looked to my clients for inspiration. You know, they've always watching them progress, watching them get stronger, watching them get healthier, really watching them take control of their health and fitness as they got older. And so seeing a lot of them peak in their 50s, in their 60s, you know, I really felt like, you know, we had a good program as far as our, you know, strength training program, you know, prioritizing strength training, nutrition, all of the whole package to really help our clients to peak in their 50s, you know, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so here I was approaching my 40s and, you know, I was ready. And so part of writing this book was selfish. Part of writing this book was because I wanted to sit down with all of our clients and go, hang it, let's talk for a minute. Because what exactly are you doing? You know, even though I was the coach and the one telling them what to do, you still, you know, want that inspiration. And I just wanted to draw from each of our clients of what had worked because they all were doing what was working.
I love when we went on our snowboarding trip. We had a girls trip about a month ago and we were talking just over like coffees about the book. And you said that the woman on the cover was one of your clients. And then really just a lot of stories about women who you had actually worked with, which I found really inspiring because I think that we can just come as like the expert of knowing everything, but you had hundreds of case studies, if not thousands of case studies there to draw from. And I really, really loved that.
Yeah, it's definitely pulled from, you know, we consider our gym our research and development. So it's, you know, where we get to see, you know, we document everything. We document all of our workouts. We document the progress everybody's making. And we really make sure that we're keeping track of what works and what doesn't. And so that way, as we continue to work with people over the 24 years we've been in business, we have been able to, you know, continue to use what works. And so that's what I wanted to include in this book was everything that does work. So, yeah.
Cool. Which I want to get into in a second, but I also just want to say that I agree with Danny in terms of like, I just feel like so many people, especially younger trainers, you know, all of us have been personal trainers in our 20s. And I think it's easy to be like, well, I got a certification. Maybe I read research a little bit, right? I geek out on biochemistry. Like, you know, we have all those things that we get excited about. And I think, and yeah, you can know the science and you can certainly be really smart. And that's one way to be an expert. But I think even more of an important way to be an expert is clinical reps. Like, you know, 24 years as a gym owner, y'all have seen thousands, tens of thousands of people have come through the gym, you know, and a lot of them have success. And I feel like a book like this is such a service because most fitness books are like, here's the theory, right? And then maybe there's a couple of case studies like here's Chad or here's Susan, but like literally a book of literally people's testimonials of how they got results in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. I mean, that's real. It's not theory. It's real. And so for me, having a book like this is, it's so different than what we typically see. And I think it's such a service. So let's talk about it. What are like some of the patterns that you have seen from interviewing your clients? These people have had success in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Actually, Danny and I just did an episode, gosh, this might have been like a couple of weeks ago, on how we've changed the way we exercise in our 40s and how it's changed from obviously our 20s and 30s. So what were some of the things that came up in the book? What were some of the patterns, some of the threads of success for your clients? Let's definitely get into it because this is our demographic.
Yeah. So the crazy thing, you know, as I started to sit down with my clients, all of them are different, right? All of us are different. Every single person is different. So I think, you know, there's not everybody wants the magic formula, the magic program, the magic, this is what works. And so, you know, as we started to, I started to chat with all of them. I mean, we customize our programs for each of our clients. And so really you got to take, you know, your own body, your own experience, your own, what you have going on and really find what's going to work best for you. With that said, there are some common threads. You know, strength training as the priority is one of the things that we really emphasize at Results Fitness. And I think, I know we talked about this when we were all hanging out, you know, about how like we want more women to realize that strength training is actually the, you know, it's the easy way to feel your best. And, you know, like why would, you know, you go walk for miles or, you know, do a bunch of cardio when you could just go to the gym and like lift some weights for like 30 minutes and feel so much better. And so that is the basis of the program is using strength training to really help our women to build muscle, you know, functional strength. I mean, as we age, we all want independence. We all want to be able to do the things we can do. And, you know, there's a story in the book about one of our clients who she realized she was in her 50s and she realized she was scared to carry her grandbaby up the stairs, you know, scared she wasn't going to be able to balance, you know, was going to have to, you know, and really that was like her moment of, hang on, this is not like, I want to be able to pick up my grandkid, walk up the stairs, feel confident. And so that's when she came into the gym and she started working out with us. And, you know, we started her on our base program and started to progress her. And over time, she went from, you know, in her 50s, she, you know, she told stories about how she'd be at the grocery store and have to ask for help to get her bottles of water into her cart, you know, so someone would have to help her. And then now she's in her 70s. So 20 plus years later, she now, you know, is deadlifting, you know, 215 pounds. She's, you know, like goes to, you know, her kids, like she tells a story about how she, when she goes to see her kids' volleyball game or her grandkids' volleyball game, she sees all of the older people sitting down on the bottom tier of the bleachers. And she, you know, hikes her way up the bleachers, you know, nothing to hold on to, right? So she's confident. She knows how to step up the bleachers, get up to the top seat so she can have a good view because she wants the best view in the house. And so, you know, and then, you know, even stories like jumping into volleyball games to play with her kids and her grandkids rather than sitting on the sidelines. So I think, you know, it's like you don't realize how much, you know, strength training and being able to do the things you want to be able to do, whether it's picking up your grandkid, hiking up the stairs, jumping into the volleyball game, walking around, maybe it's a trip somewhere, right? Where you're able to do the things you want to do. It's really about experiencing life. And so I think that's, you know, the big takeaway is, you know, you talk to all of these clients. I think they all came in their 30s and 40s. And initially they wanted the quick fit. They wanted the 6-week program. They wanted the, you know, in 8 weeks, I'm going to be ready for summer and, you know, can you get me in my bikini body, right? And that's what motivated them then, right? But then as they've been with us, you know, once they got hooked on strength training and feeling good, now, you know, 20 years later, looking back, they all kind of laughed at themselves of, you know, like, gosh, I remember why I joined and now why I stay is such a different reason. And so it's pretty cool to see that identity shift really of becoming the person who lifts weights and who is athletic and who jumps in and says, yes, I do want to play the volleyball game or I do want to hike up to the top of the bleachers. So it's really cool to see.
I love that story and that woman's experience. And it's also kind of goes to the myth that we can't continue to build muscle as we age, right? Because there's so many, I mean, there are studies that say we start to lose muscle and more muscle after age of 30 or 35, depending on what you read. But It sounds like we're still able to build muscle and still get stronger. It's not like once it's gone, it's over, right? We still Absolutely. Have a chance to get it back.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so many people yeah. think, oh, it's too late, right? Or I'm too old mm-hmm. or like, no, you're not, you know, you can still make progress. And, you know, now she, when she's at the grocery store and sees someone going to get their water, she's like, hey, can I help you with that? She's like in her 70s, like, here, let me help you put your water on your cart, you know, like, yeah, you can get stronger and you can get, you know, like able to do more as we age, which is like really awesome.
No, I want to ask you about this one thing, because I feel like this is really, this is a huge barrier to entry, I feel like, and to lifting weights. And I've never experienced this. I started lifting when I was 16, but I think for most of our, you know, clients that are in their 40s and 50s and getting older, there's a real fear of injuring themselves when they lift weights. Like if they've never lifted before, I'm starting to experience this. We're doing a fitness program right now at Jill Fit. And like, we do have women in their 60s and like a lot of them are like, I'm scared of getting hurt. So can you speak a little bit to that? Because this is a huge thing that I feel like we have to overcome. And all of us have been trainers, are trainers. And so we know, like, actually when you start lifting weights, you're sort of inoculating yourself from further injury, right? That's really the scariest thing, is like, you're actually more prone to injury when you're not strong, especially as you get older. But how do you talk to someone who's like, thinks they're literally going to get injured when they start, you know, lifting weights or doing even any weight training?
I think it goes back to how you talked about you know, you used to lift weights differently when you're in your 20s and 30s than you do in your 40s and 50s. And when we're in our 20s or 30s, we jump into any random strength training program and we go all in and we do all the sets, all the reps, and like, you know, like maybe not appropriate exercises for where we're at the level that we're at. And maybe we get away with it and maybe we don't get hurt and, you know, but, you know, we're really sore and we think it's cool and, you know, that was fun. But now in our 40s and 50s, I think we do have to take a more scientific approach. I think we do have to, you know, really, you know, get a coach. I do think it's a good idea to have a coach, you know, like the women working in your program, they have you to help them to make sure that you are going to progress at a, you know, you're going to start on exercises that you're not going to get hurt on, that you start where you are. And, you know, that's something that we really, you know, when we start our women at Results Fitness, and I talk about in the book, is really, you know, looking at where are you right now? Let's start you where you're at and let's just make that a little bit harder, right? Like if we can just step up on a baby step, cool, let's do that. And maybe we, you know, next week we go a little higher and we go a little higher. And, you know, it may seem like I'm not doing anything, you know, compared to what you used to do when you were in your 20s or 30s. But if you start there and then you progress slowly week after week, month after month, a year from now, you're going to find that you're going to, you know, have gotten to where you want to be without getting injured. And I think, yes, none of us want to get injured. But that doesn't mean we don't strength train. That just means we find a good plan. We find a, you know, progressive plan that's going to help us take baby steps to get to where we want to go.
Love that. What have you found with cardio and aging? I know when, I don't know, I feel like when we were all younger, or women in general, were the cardio bunnies, or like all the girls would be on the treadmills and the boys would be on the weights. And I know that we've come along to talking more about weightlifting, but is that to just say no more cardio, or do we still need to do it, or how should we shift our cardio as we age?
I think strength training needs to be the priority. So that needs to be, you know, if you only have time to do one type of exercise, lifting weights, and, you know, if you lift with short rest periods, you are going to get the cardiovascular benefit. So I think if time is short, just stick to the weights, get it done, you know, keep your heart rate elevated, and you're going to get that cardio benefit. With that said, I think as we age, we do get more sedentary. And so I do talk in the book about, you know, really paying attention to your activity levels. And, you know, I do think it's a good idea to keep an eye on your steps, keep an eye on, you know, if you are starting to add these strength training programs into your workouts, and then you're sitting a lot more during the day, then you're kind of counteracting, you know, your activity, right? So making sure that you continue to stay active as far as, you know, getting movement in throughout your day. And I think that's the difference, is it's not necessarily, you know, going to, you know, getting on the treadmill and doing hours and hours of cardio, or the stairmill and doing hours and hours of cardio, but more making movement a priority in your daily life. Just making sure, you know, you get out and do a walk. You know, that's just part of your life, especially as we become more, I know I became more sedentary as I got into my 40s. I was, you know, sitting at a desk a lot more, sitting on Zoom a lot more, you know, this is, you know, starts to become, I wasn't training as many clients. I wasn't on the training floor. So really, you know, paying attention to that and realizing, okay, I have to actually make it purposeful to keep moving, you know, to keep my movement going. But overall, I think women do tend to think walking or, you know, or cardio is going to be number one. Like, I want to start exercising. I'm going to start walking. I'm going to go walking with my friends, or I'm going to, you know, start doing cardio. And instead start with strength training, you know, start with that as your first thing. And then, you know, we can add the cardio in, you know, as a side dish. So keeping that strength training as the first priority.
Yeah, I love that. And to follow up on that, you actually talked about that a little bit earlier on the podcast. You were like, why would someone go and just do a whole bunch of cardio when it could be as simple as picking up weights? And like, do you feel like there's still, or I don't mean, maybe not still, but there is this stigma around, because I agree with you. Like, believe me, I'd rather do like just 20 minutes of like all out heavy weight training and be like, boom, check the box, than sit on an elliptical for an hour, like a lot of these people do at these big box gyms. Like, I'll walk in, I see the same people on the same cardio machine doing an hour, and they look the exact same year after year, which is fine, right? Like, that's fine. But like, why wouldn't, like, what's so, to me, I'm like, why is that hard? I was like, I'd much rather do 20 minutes of 30 minutes of heavyweight training and knowing that it's going to like sort of leverage that time spent is going to leverage so much more than doing the cardio. Do you feel like there's still a stigma around women lifting weights, or do people really not want the look of, you know, cause you have like, look fit and athletic, or feel strong and athletic on your, on the cover of the book. Is there still resistance there? Like, what are some of the biggest obstacles for women just starting to lift weights? Like, why aren't they doing it more?
I think women are more and more embracing strength and athleticism and wanting muscle, I hope. I think when I wrote my first book, you know, 15 years ago, it was not, you know, women wanted to be skinny. They didn't care. They did not want muscle. Bulky was, you know, definitely a common, you know, thing I would hear. I don't want to get bulky. And so when I wrote that first book, it was all about, you know, hey guys, like, let's lift some weights and let's build some muscle. And I feel like we've come a long way in the last 15 years. I feel like, you know, women have started to realize, hey, you know what? Muscle is a good thing. And I want to be strong. But with that said, they don't always know what to do, right? Like, I think it's intimidating, and it's, you know, especially, you know, they look on the weight training floor and, you know, it's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know, you know, I don't want to look like a fool. I mean, you know, women are, you know, we're all very worried about what other people are thinking about us, or, you know, being judged, right? So, you know, it's definitely, I think, intimidating. And, you know, hopefully a book like Age Strong will help women to have a plan, so they feel like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I can follow this plan. This is step one. You know, this is what I'm going to be able to do. And that's one of the things I love seeing in our gym, is women coming in nervous, intimidated, and then, you know, again, that identity shift happens over time, where now they come in, they load their barbell, they, you know, how to set up a squat rack. They, you know, they feel very confident with all of the equipment that at one point was very intimidating for them. So I think, you know, if you are intimidated, or if you feel like, I just don't know where to start, you know, get yourself a plan, you know, to follow. Like, if you follow a plan like the one in Age Strong, or get yourself a coach to help you, that's what's going to give you the confidence to get started.
I think you're really right on that. I remember the first time I started lifting, I was working in this sport and I was doing more physical therapy type stuff. So the guy was teaching me just like these shoulder raises. So I would go to the gym, do my little cardio, and then I'd go over to the weights and I'd just do shoulder raises. And then I put the weights down and leave, because that was all I knew. And then maybe sometimes some curls, because everybody knows curls, right? You just see that on TV.
Yeah. Some girl raises and some curls.
Yeah. But I didn't know what else to do. And it was just more of not knowing and being intimidated and afraid to look dumb. And also I had tried maybe a few other things I might pick up, seeing somebody do something. I go, oh, I'm going to try that. And then some guy comes over and they're like, let me help you. And then you're just like, ah, I did it wrong. So I love that you have, so in the book, is there like pictures and
yeah,
like
there's
a whole
actually
plan for people? Like,
how does
that?
16-week program, and there's color pictures of all the exercises, and all the exercises are our clients. So you know, you can look at those and know that they are women who followed the program. It's, you know, it's got a 16-week plan that starts from the beginning, and then I do give like some strength, you know, standards to shoot for. So, you know, wherever you're starting from, you can have kind of an idea of, okay, I want to start to really give myself some goals in the gym, because I think that's the other thing, is a lot of women just do the same thing. like you're talking about. They learn something and then they do that same thing, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to go over, I'm going to pick up the 15-pound dumbbells, I'm going to do my lateral raises and my bicep curls, and then I'm going to hit the treadmill because that's all I know, you know? So I think that's part of the problem too, is they don't know, you know, they're like, that's all, like, this is all I know, you know?
Yeah. Or they'll sit on the adductor.
That's
machine.
It. I remember doing that when I was, oh my gosh, that's how I got started lifting. I was like 16 and I got a job at a gym and I was like, well, and I did it for the aerobics. Like I wanted to do step and all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll start lifting. It was me and just my friend were the only women in the weight room. And this is, gosh, this is like 97 maybe. And all these like older dudes who were lifting. And I remember just going to the machines. I would go from machine to machine to machine and just do the whole circle. Yeah. I had no idea what muscle group I was working. Like, and of course, you know, in your teens, you got like their hormones raging. So 6 months later, I had these like massive shoulders just because I was like trying to do something like on this as muscle. But then you start to learn and you start to like see other people do some stuff, and then you introduce maybe some dumbbell type stuff. So if someone's listening to this show and right now and they're like, okay, you know, you've convinced me, I'm in my 40s or 50s, it's not too late to start training. Do you recommend people start with machines, or like, because for beginners, they don't know how to move their body, right? But like, you know, so how would you progress someone through machines versus free weights versus barbell training? I know you guys do all of it at Results, but take us through like what you would recommend for someone who's never picked up a weight or never done any resistance training in their 40s.
Yeah, our base phase of the program is definitely using your body weight. So we don't typically use machines. We don't have any machines at Results Fitness. I think, you know, a lot of the machines you end up sitting down on, which really, I think sitting down we all do enough of, and probably is, you know, not what you need to do when you go to the gym. So we would rather you use your core, use your whole body. So really, you know, high bang for your buck exercises where you're going to get a lot done at once. And so, I mean, even anything like a simple, you know, so we think of a push-up, which I know a lot of women, you know, they may have never done a real push-up, right? They may have always stuck to girl push-ups. You know, we call them girl push-ups. So doing that on a, you know, on an incline, you know, having, you know, doing a plank, doing a push-up, doing, you know, body weight squat, doing a goblet squat where you're holding a weight in front of you, you know, doing some of the simple movements that are going to help you to start to build that base strength and that base movement to eventually progress to lifting more weights and, you know, and move up from there. But I think, and I know because I'm spoiled because we're in Results Fitness. So it's a very different environment and I don't get to go in public gyms very often, but I imagine it can be very intimidating to go into a public gym and head over to the squat rack. You know, so I would probably just try to find maybe a corner, you know, or an area where, you know, you can kind of set up shop, grab some dumbbells, you know. I know, Jill, you're great at these workouts. I always see you in the gyms with like your little setup with, you know, you got your squat rack, your dumbbells, your barbell, and it's kind of like, this is my domain, you know, like, so if you do that, you know what, most guys are going to be intimidated by you and they're probably going to be nervous to approach you. And, so if you just walk in with confidence, get the stuff you need, set yourself up with, you know, an area that you can do your workout in, I think that's going to be your best bet rather than going around the circuit of machines, you know, sitting down. I think that's, you know, that's not going to lead you to where you want to go.
Yeah. I love that. I know. Sometimes I'm like, when I'm not feeling it and go to the gym, be like, all right, I'm just going to sit down on these machines today. Check the box.
Yes.
Then, but yeah, it's definitely been interesting. And I would love actually maybe Danny to chime in, because I know you've had, you know, you were obviously a personal trainer when you were in your 20s, you were a high level figure competitor, you went through adrenal fatigue. And then, so what's been your, like, are you going to pick up this book, Danny? Are you going to do the 16-week program? I just need to know.
I'm actually so curious about this program, honestly, because the last couple of years I've been way more sedentary, and it's interesting when you have a athlete mentality of what you used to be able to do, either you were injured and took a time off, or the pandemic happened and then it just kept going and going and going and you took some time off, and then you go back and try to do the old things you used to do, and it's like, this is freaking hard. I love that you're saying to start with, I mean, it's very progressive. That's what I'm hearing. And that's what I love. And that's what I would also teach and work with my clients, is to do progressive exercises, right? Start with body weight. And then you go from there, start where you are. And so for someone like me, who's been away and then try to come back, it's like, okay, Danny, go back to basics that you know in your mind work, but sometimes it's hard to do when your body, when you mentally are 25 and physically not 25.
Yeah.
And trying to go back to that.
Well, and yeah, I love we this. All and need I think a coach. It sounds really too, sound. You know? Like, I think for, yeah. like, it's hard.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for me to write my own program because I, you know, I'll do all the things I like to do. Or, like you're saying, you do all the things that in your head you can yeah. do, you know? And so, yeah, I would recommend follow the plan as it is and, you know, have that outside coach, which would be me in the book, you know, coaching you, you know, through the yeah. exercises so that you have a plan to follow and trust the plan. And I think initially, you know, like we clients will say, you know, like, oh, it doesn't seem like we're doing a whole lot maybe in the first phase, you know, and it's like, well, you are actually doing a lot, you know. And then as they progress, you yeah. start to realize and look back and go, oh, gosh, OK, now I understand. It's, you know, it's kind of the, you know, if we're all of the same age, Karate Kid, if you remember, wax on, wax off, you know, like the Karate Kid, you know, his coach, right, definitely had methods mm-hmm. that he used that didn't make sense. And then along the way, you know, those methods started to make sense. And so sometimes in the beginning, you might think like, I want to go all in, I want to go hardcore. But instead, follow the plan and start off with the basics, using your body weight, getting the movements, getting the range of motion, getting your body moving properly, so that then as you are adding load, yeah. you're doing it properly, and you're not going to hurt yourself, and you're going to age strong, feeling good. So I'm excited you're going to try it. That's awesome.
I think it's so important too to focus on basics and fundamentals. We see so many things online that are fancy. And I remember a time in personal training where the Basu ball was so big, and I'd see these trainers putting their clients on a balance ball, doing all kinds of weird things where they didn't need to be adding, they didn't need to be like standing on a ball with one leg and then doing a movement when they couldn't even do that movement on the floor. And so, and I think that as we've gone over time, there's been a lot of little fancy things that people are trying to do to make it look cooler or harder. And it's like basics work. They're fundamentals for a reason. And then you build on those fundamentals and you go from there instead of trying to start with the fancy stuff that really isn't necessary at all, to be honest. So it sounds like the program is really sound. You've had 24 years in the gym. Your clients have been with you for 20 years and they're, I'm excited to see more of the pictures. I know you, we were talking about them, and the woman on the cover looks in amazing shape. She's goals for sure. So to see this progression over time and just see that the basics work and the fundamentals are super, super important. And we just don't need to get so fancy.
Very true. Yeah. So,
well, like, no, but serious question, Rach, does the Thighmaster work? Is that part of your program?
It is not part of my program, but I do remember. What's
the other one,
the
shake weight?
Oh, the shake weight. The shake weight.
I do remember. I mean,
we both.
Yes. I've been in this industry a long time, and I remember, yeah. Well, and I even growing up, like, I remember the Thighmaster. Actually, my first time to the gym was with my dad. So my dad took me, you know, I used to go with him, and he was into weightlifting and into bodybuilding and into, you know, so he actually introduced me to all of it. But I didn't used to do, you know, I'd go and lift the lightweights next to him, you know, and then go jump on the cardio machines. And so, so over time, you know, that's how I started to get introduced more and more to weight training. And he used to, you know, all of the different bodybuilders back then. And, you know, people like Rachel McClish, if you remember her as the bodybuilder,
yeah, oh yeah.
you know, like all of those bodybuilders that you're like, wow, you know, they're beautiful. And really having that appreciation for muscle and strength. And I think, as women are starting to embrace strength and embrace muscle and embrace being strong, I, you know, I'm excited for more women to realize how they can, what they can do, you know, and how much stronger they can get, and how it doesn't matter what, how old you are. It doesn't matter when you're starting, that you can make progress. You can see, you know, strength gains. You can, you know, really start to do things you've never thought you can do. And then the cool part is not necessarily what's happening in the gym, but what you're going to see outside of the gym. And I think, you know, that's really what it's all about is, you know, the things where you're going to notice, you know, whether it's, you know, getting the Christmas decorations down or whatever it might be, like simple things in life that you're just like, huh, I can do that now. You know, I mean, even, you know, picking up your dog, picking whatever it might be, it just, you'll find it's a lot easier. Not picking up my dog, because you guys know my dog.
I was going to say.
but, you know, the idea is that you can do, do other things in life. And that's where you're going to really notice it is as you follow a program like the one in Age Strong, you'll find that, you know, those, it'll surprise you in ways that you never, you know, you never really expected, which is what I love to hear from our clients.
Yeah. So just so people know, Rachel's dog weighs 180 pounds. So, I mean, but Rach can pick her up, pick him up, but like, that's pretty much 180 pound deadlift. I like it. Can we talk about, okay. So I love the idea that like, okay, we're going to get stronger. We're going to, you know, age well, we're going to have this athleticism. It transfers into real life stuff. I'm all 100% on board with that. What do you say to someone who's like, okay, Rachel, I hear you, but I really have to lose fat. I am in perimenopause or I'm postmenopausal and like I'm willing to lift, but also I have 30 pounds to lose. Or like over the last decade, my weight has slowly crept up. I have, you know, this belly now and like weight training just seems like I'm going to be putting on a jacket over a sweater. Like how do I start losing the weight, right? This is a big deal for a lot of folks, especially a lot of women, you know, perimenopausal, postmenopausal, they don't have the same hormonal profile they had in their 20s and 30s. What do you say to a client who has a really serious fat loss goal?
Sure. And it can get harder as we get older, right? So our hormones, it's hard to go against the hormone thing that's happening, right? When we get into menopause and we have our hormones going all over the place, cortisol might be up, you might not be sleeping as well. All of these factors are going to play into where you're at with your body composition. And so I always tell our clients to control what you can control, you know, so let's look at what we can control, right? And when it comes to weight loss, you know, it is really a matter of, you know, we do have to obviously talk about nutrition, right? So as far as we have the exercise, we do have to, you know, talk about nutrition and lifestyle. So everything from, you know, stress, sleep, recovery, all of these things are going to play a factor when we start looking at goals such as losing weight. So we're really going to have to look at the bigger picture of, you know, what does the life look like? And really, you know, looking at nutrition. So we are going to have to, you know, a lot of times the approach we take is we start with, you know, how much protein are we eating, making sure we're fueling our body with enough protein. A lot of times when you start to eat more protein, you start to eat less of the things that may not be, you know, what are helping with your body composition goals. And then making sure we're losing fat and building muscle, right? So I know what you're talking about with like not wanting to build muscle underneath the layer of fat, right? But we also do a lot of times by this point, what I've found is a lot of our clients have done multiple diets. So they've done multiple crash diets. I mean, right now, you know, a lot of them are maybe even doing some of the diet, you know, medications that are out there, Ozempic or things that might be, you know, they may have tried and they may be on and they may have lost muscle. And so realizing that if we don't gain that muscle, like we have to gain that muscle in order to get your metabolism back to normal. You know, that's like a lot of times for women at this point in their life, they have to, I mean, even women that have had, you know, different surgeries and things and have had to take time off of, you know, working out or like they've lost muscle, right? So that's part of it is to, you know, realize muscle's not bad and we do need to build that muscle back up. And so it's usually a question I'll usually ask, like how many crash diets have you done in your lifetime? And a lot of times they don't even know, like they're like more than I can count, or I don't even know, or, you know, like they've done a lot, right? Like a lot of women have tried every which way to lose weight. And so by the time they are at a point where they're like, okay, you know, I'm going to try a new plan. I'm going to get the book Age Strong, or I'm going to hire a coach, or, you know, I'm going to do this differently this time. They usually have done, you know, multiple crash diets. And so realizing that building muscle is part of the plan. So we do want to strength train as a priority. So keeping that as a priority. At the same time, looking at nutrition, starting to, you know, we have to get you into a calorie deficit. Like we have to get to where we're burning more than we're losing. And the easiest way to do that is to build the muscle, get the metabolism up so that we don't have to cut the calories. You know, I want you to fuel your body. I want you to eat enough. And so really finding that balance of, you know, I do believe that like what our outside is what's going on the inside. Like what we see on the outside is what's going on the inside. And so really, you know, taking care of the inside, taking care of your nutrition, your sleep, your stress, all of those things will help you to release the fat and release the weight that you're holding on to.
Are you on, I love this and this is so true. Are you on Threads by any chance? Are you on that platform?
I'm not very active on there, but I am.
All right, don't get on there. Don't get on there. It's the worst. Danny and I, we talked about this. The only reason I'm asking is because it's obvious, if you don't know what it is, if you're listening to this, it's basically like Instagram or Meta's version of Twitter. So it's like just, you know, these little, you can put these little like pithy sort of, you know, little soundbitey type stuff, or you don't have a lot of characters. So I love this because for me, it's always just like a brain dump. It's just like, here's what I'm thinking, you know, whatever. So a few weeks ago, I posted a thread that was like, it was kind of like a joke, but it was like, it was basically like, people, how can I lose weight? And then it's like, you know, lift weights, sleep, you know, eat protein, like basics. And then it's like, also people, okay, but what else? And this thread went bonkers because people, and I want to ask you about this because I think you're, this is one of the things you're so good at. This thing went bonkers only with trainers, of course. Trainers were like, yeah, and like, you know, loved it. A lot of the perimenopause and menopause women did not love it. And they're like, I've done all this my entire life. Just wait. Like nothing works anymore. Basically, people just fighting for their limitations, right? It's like who has it the worst, right? There's no answer for something like that when someone's just like fighting for like, you know. So I feel like one of the things that you are so good at when it comes to fitness, but also I know you in a business capacity too, is shifting your mindset around stuff. And so what do you say to maybe some of these women who are like, but you don't understand, right? For every solution, they have a problem. They have an excuse. They have, you know, they're just literally like, you don't understand. I can't control this. You said control what you can control. I'm controlling all that stuff, but still it's genetics. It's my, you know, it's like, how do you help someone like that who is so entrenched in this like sort of victim mentality and like letting menopause or letting hormones or letting genetics be the thing keeping them from success?
I think it's definitely shifting their focus. So if they've been so focused on losing weight, losing weight, losing weight, looking at the scale, you know, starting to have a conversation of what would losing weight mean for you? Like, what is it that you want to be able to do? You know, like I didn't talk about this in the book, setting goals around what is it you want to be able to do? You know, I want to be able to, you know, walk all over Europe on our trip with my family this year. You know, I want to be able to, okay, now we're talking, like now I can talk, we can talk about something we can control. Now we can train for you to be able to do the things you want to be able to do. Now for some of them, you know, I want to look a certain way. I want to, you know, be able to wear a certain outfit. I want to, you know, be able to whatever it might be. Right. And so starting to just open up that conversation, I think as a coach, that's part of our job is to, you know, really have those open-ended conversations around, you know, like, what does this mean for you? What is, you know, it's not the number on the scale. Like nobody, you know, who cares about the number on the scale? It's about what you think that number on the scale represents for you, like who you're going to become. And when I talk about that identity shifting, I think that's the biggest thing is let's start to become that person, you know, who you want to be instead of a number on the scale, right? Like you're not a number on the scale. You're this person who you know, let's talk about this person. How do they act? What do they, you know, how do they feel? What do they wear? What do they do? What's their daily life like? You know, and so really starting to get them to shift their mindset to become that person today rather than waiting until they see the number on the scale. And I think that's, you know, a big shift in their identity. And I think it's a hard, I mean, this is a hard process and a hard, long, you know, journey of, you know, each day, that reminder of, hey, you know, today we're going to do the things again to be the person that we want to be, which we are right now. It's the whole act as if, you know, which, you know, I talked about that in my first book. You know, I think as you start to realize, okay, I don't need to wait until I'm a certain weight, a certain size, a certain place, until I'm done with menopause, until I'm, you know, like I can be that person today and just be the person that you want to, you know, you want to be. And I know that's probably easier said than done, but I think it is the necessary mindset shift that has to happen no matter what, because if you do lose the weight and you never make that mindset shift, you'll never keep the weight off, right? So because you're not that person. So becoming that person today and starting to, you know, be that, that's going to, one, you're probably going to start to release the weight and it's going to, you know, you're going to start to see the weight come off. But two, you know, you're going to become that person and now this is who you are rather than a temporary weight loss.
I love your answer right off the bat was just shift the focus, because I think that is one of the things. It's like, if you're just like, I can't do this, I can't do this. Well, what else? It's like, okay, what do we got here?
Yeah.
And I also noticed, I saw a reel the other day of a girl who posted, she's like, this is what I looked like when I trained for looks. And then when I switched to athleticism, and it was so cool to see, because she started trying to do pull-ups. And then, you know, the first beginning of the video, she can't do one. And then by the end, she's like doing three. And you could just see her confidence where she was training to be able to, quote, do something.
Do something,
and
yeah.
Your story at the, yeah, when your story at the beginning was so beautiful, I just picturing this woman going up the bleachers to the top because she can. And that shifts your mindset in such a way where you're building confidence about what you can do, not just what you look like. And then the result may or may not be weight loss, but if it is, great. But suddenly you're not focusing on what you can't do anymore. You're trying to make challenges for yourself and strive to do something. And they also say in research that we're happier when we're striving to something, not when we reach the goal. So to your point too, is maybe you reach the goal of your weight loss, but unless you're still striving for something, you're probably going to gain it back because the goal of just the number on the scale wasn't enough to keep you there. So yeah. I love that. Shift your focus, trying to find something else you can do, set goals on maybe like activities or maybe weights, reps lifted or something. But I think that's a really great mindset shift.
It's part of why I got into obstacle course racing into my, like when I got turned 40, that was when I started to competitively obstacle course race, because it wasn't motivating to me anymore to, you know, to lose weight or to look a certain way. Like that just didn't matter to me, as you know, like it used to be so important in my 20s. And now it was like, you know what, like I want to be fit and I want to be able to do things. And so as I started to get, you know, into obstacle course racing, I was like, I want to be able to climb that rope. Like I want to be able to swing from some monkey bars. Like I've never been able to do that in my lifetime. How cool would that be to be able to swing from monkey bars in my 40s, you know? And so now that's what motivates me, is, you know, I want to show up at the next race and be able to do the things I couldn't do at the last race, or do them better, or, you know. And so I think each of us has to find what it is we want to be able to do, you know, whether it's, if it is a race, if it is, and, you know, maybe it's, you want to go water skiing, you know, with your family. And one of our clients, that was her goal. She wanted to be able to water ski again. She hadn't water skied since she was a teenager, and, you know, wanted to have the strength to be able to get up on some water skis. Like, how cool is that? Like, that is what this is all about. You know, it's not about a number on the scale.
Even just like lifting weights alone is such a confidence builder. You know, it's funny, and you had mentioned this earlier, asking someone who's like, I just desperately want to lose weight, asking them what their why is, like, why, okay, what's going to change when you lose weight? And maybe all three of us have had this experience. I know Danny and I have, when we were competing, we're in the, like, quote unquote, the best shape of our lives, right? In terms of like, we would look at from a body composition perspective, right? I remember just being backstage at, and I know you've competed too, Rach, but like I remember being backstage and just hating, like still hating my body, like still picking my body apart. Like I'm like 12% body fat, and I'm like, but look, there's a little skin fold right here. Like I just remember feeling, and then it's, and then when you switch the way that you show up and you start focusing on getting stronger and the things you're talking about, way more confident. And even if you weigh, quote unquote, way more on the scale, you show up differently. So confidence isn't a function of body weight at all, right? Confidence is, and they show this in research, that like as you start lifting weights, it starts sort of spiraling into other areas of your life, and it builds your self-efficacy in other areas. So if you hadn't had maybe all your experience lifting weights, you wouldn't have maybe even had the confidence to be like, maybe I could do an obstacle race, or maybe I could start a business, or maybe I could, you know, and it kind of seeps into all these other areas. So have you seen that with your clients as well?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things for women, we've been told for so long we can't, you know. Even the first woman was told she can't do a marathon because she's a woman. If you guys heard that story of Catherine Switzer, you know, she signed up for a marathon, and they were like, sorry, women don't do marathon. Like, you can't do a marathon. Like, they thought, you know, her uterus was going to fall out or something. I don't know. Like, and so they told her no. And so she ended up dressing up as a guy and putting herself down, you know, as like a male name. I think she called herself Ray or something. And signed up for the marathon and ran the marathon like in disguise because they didn't let her sign up for the marathon. And so when you think back, like the history of women being told, you know, you can't, like you're too fragile and, you know, you're going to hurt yourself and don't lift too heavy. Like, let me lift that for you. And, you know, you can't do a push-up, do a girl push-up. You can't do a chin-up, just hang from the bar. Like I remember when I was in elementary school, it was hang, we did hangs when the same boys got to do chin-ups, you know. And so all of us have had this, you know, you can't, you can't, you can't. And then starting to shift to go, what can I do? And that's, you know, when people join our gym and when people start to work out, I mean, that's my biggest, like, I want them to realize, let's start asking the question of, how much weight can I lift? Or maybe I can do a push-up, or how high can I jump, or how many chin-ups can I do, or you know, can I swing from a monkey bar, can I climb a rope? Like, yes, you can do any of it. Like, you just have to decide you want to learn how to do it, and you can do it. And so when you start to shift that can't to a can, you know, it's like you said, it goes into, it's a reset for life. You know, it's not just in the gym, it's you know, I can start a business. I can, you know, make a certain amount of money. I can take this job. I can, you know, like, yeah, you can. And once you realize you have the ability to set a goal, accomplish it, and it's just a matter of deciding that you can, and, you know, it's up to you. So I love that shift. I love, you know, that's my favorite thing, is just seeing the shift of people becoming someone completely different, you know, like completely changing their identity. It's a complete identity shift of who they are when they walk in and who they are 20 years later, you know, and it's about, you know, approaching life differently. It's a whole different, you know, way of thinking.
When is your next obstacle race, Rachel?
I just did one this weekend, actually. This past
you
weekend.
You did?
Yeah. I got a silver medal. I was on the podium. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yay! Yeah. And what kind of, I don't know what the names for them would be, but like with rock and roll marathons, they kind of have a thing. And I remember there were mud runs. So what, like the organization, what kind of organization?
So this was a Spartan.
Obstacle races?
What's yeah, it called? So Spartan is the Spartan, big. Okay. Yeah. So this was a Spartan this past weekend, and they do a lot of, and then next weekend, actually on Saturday, I'm doing another, it's called DECA, which is Spartan does it. It's indoors. So there's a track, and then, which is a really great one for people, you know, that are just getting into them, because there's no mud. There's no, you know, if you don't like the dirt and the trails.
Yeah.
So it's indoor track. You do one loop around the track, and then you do one obstacle. So it's like, you know, a rower, and then you do another lap, and then you do a ski erg, and then you do another lap, and then you do heavy carries. So it's 10 obstacles in 10 laps. So it ends up being like a 5K. Yeah, so we have some clients doing that one. So that'll be fun.
And how far is a Spartan race usually?
So they have three distances. So they have a 5K, 10K, and then basically like a half marathon.
Wow.
Distance, yeah.
And which one did you do?
This weekend I did a 10K on Saturday and a 5K on Sunday.
Wow. Holy, you did too.
I did too.
Amazing.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. You know what's fun about it is being out.
That's cool.
It's fun to be out there with the other women who are in my age group, you know, so it's, I'm only against the 45 to 49 year olds. And, you know, I look around and I'm like, this is what 45 to 49 looks like. Like, you know, when I look at all these other women who are, you know, swinging from monkey bars, climbing the ropes, like out there running 10K, 5K, a lot of them did both days. I'm like, this is what 45 to 49 year old looks like, you know, because it's like, depending on who you hang out with, right, that's what's going to determine, you know, how you're going to age. And so I love being out there around the other women that are also, you know, not, you know, oh, it's, I'm too old, I can't do this. It's, you know, it's, we're all out there pushing each other, and we all compete. It's competitive. I mean, we all are going for the podium. So it's like, you know, when we see each other on the course, if we, you know, we're, one of us is trying to get the obstacle and one falls off, you know, it's like, it's healthy competition. And yeah, it's definitely like a fun, you know, camaraderie. We all know each other. We all know, you know, and so it's just, it's really fun, because it's a good way to push myself and to, you know, kind of have that bar set of, you know, making sure I love, you know, love being out there competing. But, and that's, I've always been a competitor. I love competing. So that's just who I am. And I think you have to find that,
really,
you know,
because
some people hear that and they're like, I would never do that, but it's my own thing. And you have to find what works for you, you know? So if it's what motivates you, then definitely give it a try. I think for a lot of people, if they're having trouble, and I talk about this in the book, like I was having trouble going into my 40s, getting motivated. And so if you sign up for a race, you're going to find a way to prioritize how you eat, your workouts, your sleep, your like, cause now you're showing up at a start line and you have a race on the day on the calendar. And so for me, that was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sign up for this race competitive. And that like, okay, all of a sudden I do have time to get my workouts done. And all of a sudden I am, you know, I can say no to the alcohol, and all of a sudden I can't, you know, so it's definitely, you know, something that gives me that external accountability that I think we all need external accountability in some way. And so it's finding what works for you.
Yeah, such a good point. I mean, when I did fitness competitions back in the day, that kept me super focused because I know I'm going to be on stage in a little tiny bikini in a couple of weeks and I'm not going to fuck up my diet because I know like it's going to show. And later that just didn't motivate me anymore. And I've done some races and different things, but I like to have that, you know, challenge or something to set myself up for. And I remember there were plenty of women who I competed with that was like the only way they would diet is if they go, it was almost like a way to maintain dieting, which I don't think was necessarily the healthiest thing. I love yours right. because it's more about what you can do versus how you look. So I am like, yes, if you want to be on stage to do a competition, cause you want to check it off your bucket list, but I like doing something like what you're doing, where it's pushing yourself, seeing how much you can change. Cause you really don't have any control over whether a judge likes your body, but you do have control over whether you get a PR in your race or how right. you do on an obstacle. So these are things that I think are really, really great.
Yeah. So, I couldn't climb cool. a rope at my first race. Like I, you know, I couldn't and had to learn how to do that. You know, I couldn't do the monkey bars. I had to learn how yeah. to do that. So it's definitely something anybody can learn. Yeah.
So cool.
And I think it's, you know, it is a shift. Like you know, you are now, like, I think of that because I'm like, I am a competitor. Like I compete year round. It's just who I am, how I eat, what I, you know, it's how I live. And if I'm not competing, you know, I'm just more likely to start going down that slippery slope, you know, of, oh, I'll have one extra drink. Mm-hmm. I'll, you know, stay up a little later. I'll skip my workout tomorrow. I'll, you know, it's just like this slippery slope. You either head down one path or the other. And, you know, for me, it's just what I've found to work is, you know, this is what I love to do. And the races are that's like my reward. That's just fun to get out there and race and have a good time. So.
I love that you said that everyone needs some external motivation sometimes, because I think that it gets such a bad rap. Like it's like, but look, at the end of the day, if you're someone who wants to stay active their entire lives, I don't know that you can be like intrinsically motivated every single day for decades. Like, I just don't know that. If anything, it's more of a habit. At least for me, it's not. I don't ever feel like inspired to go to the gym. I just go because it's 9 a.m. Like, I'm just like, that's where I go at 9 a.m., you know? So I think it's probably a combination of just like habits, but it's more just like, I'm so glad that you said that, because learning a new skill. Or I remember when I started CrossFit, I don't do it anymore, but I remember when I started CrossFit, everything felt so exciting. So I was like, I'm learning Olympic lifts and I'm learning strongman stuff and I'm learning. So I think I'm glad that you said that, because I think it does get a bad rap. Like, oh, you need external motivation. Yeah. Like you should just be able to like internally. And I just don't think if you want to have a long career as an athlete or as someone fit, you probably need to have some of these things yeah. built in.
I think so many people think us as fitness professionals are intrinsically motivated and that we just, this is how we, you know, we just go to the gym because we love it. And it's like, no, like we all struggle too. And we all, I think a good 80% of the people need some kind of external accountability. And I've realized that about myself. I do best when I have training partners. Like I love having training partners. If people are, you know, meeting me to train, like I will show up. Like I will be there and I will, you know, and I'll push myself harder if there's other, you know, we're competing against each other. Like it's just how I thrive and I love being around other people and I love, you know, having that external accountability. And so you have to figure out what works for you, you know, and what your motivation style is. Not everybody wants training partners. Not everybody wants a race on the calendar, you know, but maybe, you know, you need a coach, right? So maybe, you know, having a coach that you check in with, whether it's in person or remote that, you know, or maybe it's a training plan that you're following or, but something that, you know, really holds you to an accountability that, that you're going to make sure you get it done. I think, you know, doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you don't have willpower. It doesn't mean, you know, I think it's, you know, when you start to realize, oh, most people do need external accountability. I think that's, you know, it's okay to need a coach. It's okay to need training partners. It's okay to, you know, need a date on the calendar. Like that's, you know, that's, I think that's a lot of most people need that.
Agree. Well, I love it. I'm about to sign up for a Spartan race. Danny,
hey,
let's do it.
So. Let's do it.
I'm not competing against Rachel. We're not in the same box. I'll be in the 40 to 45 year old. So
yeah,
you'll still beat me
like
double my time. Yeah. You'll still come in way before me. But I love this conversation because, you know, like you said, as fitness professionals, sometimes we need a little boost as well. So I just love this. I love the name of the book and I'm so excited to read it and learn all about your clients, but we'll make sure we put the link to your, is it Amazon? Is that the best one? That we should use. We'll put that in the show notes. to make sure that if you are listening to this, that you can pick up Age Strong, learn from Rachel, do the 16-week program. Is it okay if people reach out to you on DM and let you know that they're doing the program?
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram. So jump on my Instagram, DM me. I'd love to hear from you guys. Love to hear how it's going for sure.
Awesome. We'll definitely put your contact info in the show notes.
Share your Instagram. Share
RachelCosgrove.co. RachelCosgrove.co on Instagram.
There we go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited for the book and just congrats. It's huge, not only to publish one book, but multiple books. And you are always inspiring, not only as a coach, but also as a mentor, especially for me. And I just really appreciate being able to have you on and super excited for what's next.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you helping me to share the word of Age Strong. So thank you.
Love it. Great. All right, y'all. Thanks, well, that's Rachel. All we got for you guys. And thanks for being here. Make sure you guys connect with Rachel on social, get the book, start doing the training program. And of course, thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.